Lord. All right. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Or I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. In other words, Christ came that you might have Zoe. Huh? Now, most people's understanding of Zoe is the life that you received when you got born again, but it's far beyond that. It has to do with a way of life. Okay? So Zoe is not just the life that you received, it is a way of life. And after this, many of you are going to be sorted. Huh? You see, let me tell you something that is a secret. I was reading a scripture, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, in Naphtali and Zebulun. Okay, let's go on. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Now, this is what's happening in verse 1. He's describing a territory. And he's saying, in Naphtali, in Zebulun, he says, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan. Then he talks about Galilee of the nations. He has described a territory. In verse 2, then he describes what was happening in that territory. Verse 2, he says, the people that walked in darkness within that territory have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, within that territory, upon them hath the light shined. Very important you understand this, that Isaiah the prophet, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking through him, it identifies a territory, and it says that there was darkness in that territory. The light that is referred to in the scripture is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 4, later, don't go there. But it's referring to Jesus Christ, who is that great light that came in darkness. He came within that region, all right? Now, please understand that the region in which Jesus came, there were Pharisees and Sadducees who knew scripture. Yes? And yet, the region was in darkness. Okay. They know scripture. They study it day and night. And yet, they were absent of the knowledge that there was darkness in the land. And then, scripture says that now a great light has come. That means spirituality is far beyond knowledge. Can we say yes? Yes. That means that the higher place that actually the Bible refers to as light, which is understanding, amen, spiritual understanding. These men knew scripture but did not understand. Here came a man who not only knew scripture, was the word himself. He had what we call the spirit of understanding. Now, it's very important you get this. That's why the Bible says the entrance of thy word bringeth light. It's not referring to knowledge. Yes? It's not referring to knowledge. It's referring to understanding. Now, I have looked at the lives of people as a teacher. Please pay very close attention. I've looked at the lives of people. I've looked at ministers. I meet people day in, day out. People who can't give birth. I've met people who are longing to get married. I've met people who are broke. I've met people who passed in campus, got first class, but can't get a job. And so I asked the Lord, there's a mystery working in here and I need to understand it. Praise the Lord. And many of the people that I meet have been born again since they were young. They've been speaking in tongues, some of them, since they were young. Okay, they've been in church listening to men of God. Sometimes this one, you get tired of him. You know what I'm talking about, eh? Yeah. So you get tired of this man of God and move on to the next one. You get tired of him. And so they've done that. They've moved from church to church, but situation seems to be the same. What are they missing, dear Lord? These are the questions that I ask God when I'm in my private time with the Lord that I call the secret place. And so I want to explain something to you. I need two volunteers. A lady, a guy. I'll call a third one soon. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Come a bit closer. I was explaining this to two people yesterday, but for your sake, please hear me carefully. Extremely important. God calls people. Everyone that comes on the face of this earth has a calling. Let's speak in your forum, because you're here. I'm presuming everyone here is born again. Okay? Now, these two are friends. They start spiritual life together. Maybe Sunday school, and they begin to take a walk of spirituality. Everything that they learn in their church, they learn the same things. And everything that they receive from God in their church is meant to build their spiritual man. So they learn about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. They learn about speaking in tongues. They learn about healing. They learn about God's provision. They learn all these things, and they're learning them at once. Now, as they grow spiritually, a point comes in their life where their lives now begin to divert. It's no longer general. So God now begins to deal with them individually. It's no longer corporate. So while before, their life, the messages that God was bringing were general, as they grow spiritually, they begin to divert. Now, this one is called to be a prophet, let's say, and she's called to be a businesswoman. All right? God begins to deal with them differently. The dealings of the prophet are not the same dealings as that of a business person, whether she knows it or not. Now, because he's called to be a prophet, please understand, if you're a minister here, there's no such thing as wholesome teaching. You don't teach everything. When the Lord calls you, he begins to narrow your call. So then every minister, as long as they matured in the spirit, will have aligned themselves to a particular dimension that I call the signature of their life. Okay? So let's say he's a prophet called to focus on entering the spirit realm. And she's a businesswoman focusing on young children.
Amen.
And bringing them up.
Amen.
Okay? Yes. Now, please understand. I want you to you're with me so far?
Yes.
Their lives are diverging. But God is ideally and purposefully dealing with them because their calls are different, whether they know it or not. Now, because he's a prophet or a minister and his focus is entering into the realm of the spirit, God will begin to apportion certain things in his life so he receives with default the grace to pray.
Amen. 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 Amen.
This one might not have that grace. I need you to pay very close attention. He receives the grace to pray. Every time he goes to pray, he doesn't know, or he may not know, that the reason why he has the grace upon his life to pray is because of the dimension of his call.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean this one can't pray. Remember what I taught? I said, consistency attracts. So, this one, unlike the other one, the businesswoman now, in order to tap into a grace to pray, has to, whether she feels like or not, force herself into it. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now,
yes, I get
it. Now, here's what happens. Please pay very close attention. This minister, as the Lord deals with him, reaches a point where he has to now start a ministry. When he starts a ministry, sincerely, and this is where an error enters the church. This is the mistakes many people have made, and this is the purpose of the office of a teacher. You see, the mistake he will make sincerely is to think that God deals with all men like he deals with him.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So he will turn and say, you're not even praying. You don't even pray enough. Both of them will go to a prayer place. Yes. There'll be prayer partners. This one will get tired quickly. This one will continue.
Yeah.
The businesswoman looks at the man, the minister, and says, man, you pray too much. Praying is not the only thing in life. And they even make statements like, prayer can't bring you things. You need to be active in life. You need to do certain things beyond praying. Are you with me? He looks at this one and says, the world is eating you up. It's eating you up. You're getting too lost in those things. You look unserious. As this one grows in the spirit, he begins to see dreams, visions. He begins to prophesy by virtue of his call. Now, this one, if they've been in the same church, let's say the businesswoman attends his church. When she attends his church and he's ministering from his calling line, what's going to happen is that she will reach a point where she feels, I don't see visions, I don't dream, I don't prophesy, I'm backsliding. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, Here's what's going to happen. And this is, I told you, it's an error in the church. Because men need to realize that people have different callings in life. Now, it doesn't mean this man is irrelevant to the businesswoman. It doesn't mean he's irrelevant. But when she's sitting under an anointing, she has the wisdom. She has to have the wisdom when she's hearing. The Bible says, Jesus said, take heed how you hear, not what you hear. Now, the how of hearing is this, that when you hear, you align things to your call. You don't hear generally. Okay, don't worry, I'm going to make it. We're going to get there. So here's what happens. This minister begins to prophesy, begins to see in the spirit, begins to do all these things. Now, their lives begin to take a certain pattern in life. Now, here's what happens. This businesswoman, as long as she's still attending church, as long as she's still growing in the things of the spirit, what's going to happen is that she's going to start seeing life differently.
Amen.
From the minister.
Amen. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, because she's a businesswoman, here's what's going to happen. Let's say at some point, she learns leadership skills, goes to classes, leadership classes, all those things that are necessary for her business.
Yes.
Things that don't seem spiritual.
Yes.
All these things are attaching themselves.
Amen.
To her. In the end, she succeeds. Now, please understand that I've taught with time. I've taught over time. The other week, I taught that the power of God shows itself or manifests itself in three ways. One, through relationship. Two, through understanding the principles of God. And three, through sitting under the right anointing. Now, I want to focus on the first two. Because you see, this is the secret as to why men like Bill Gates can succeed in life even without knowing God. Because God has set in place principles and guidelines that any man, if he stumbles upon them, knowingly or unknowingly, he will succeed. There's a certain portion of success you have, absent of knowing God. That is why witch doctors, all these guys, can have some set of results without ever having intimacy with God. And that's why I emphasize that with the spirit, it's never about results. The how you get the results is extremely important. Otherwise, you can be duped. In this world, you can come to a man who can prophesy right things and impart something that is totally off. Okay? You're with me, children of God. Now, here's what happens. In her leadership skills and all these things that she's learned, by tapping into the principles of God, she succeeds.
Amen.
When she succeeds, this man has been praying the entire time but looks broke. She turns and says, but you overpray. Life is about principles. Are you with me? I'm trying to show you the error in the church. Life is about principles. Now, she has the results. It's hard to argue with her. But you see, the way God deals with men is this, that when he deals with you in line with your calling, if this man ministers and says, listen, praying and entering the Spirit is the only way. If he says that, the only people he will benefit are the people called after his pattern.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But yet inside there, and listen, if she starts a church and she says, listen, this stuff over praying, what, just learn principles. There are intercessors in there. People who are called to be prophets will never benefit.
Amen. Amen.
English. Huh? I want to be deep, but I want to be deep systematically. Yeah? Okay? So here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Please understand, like I've said, that the Lord streamlines men. When he streamlines men according to their callings, it is an error for the person. The man must discern and must be able to know that the place in which the Lord has called him, the instructions that he'll give just to him or to people in line with his pattern.
Amen.
So take, for example, I was telling two people yesterday that consider Mary. If she was teaching on fertility, Mary, the mother of Jesus, should have said, you don't need a man. And started an entire doctrine. And she has the results. Praise the Lord. Eh? If Samson had stood there and said, you know what? You don't need to cut off your hair. Power lies in hair. And so you try to grow hair, but there's nothing. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is why, you see, this session today is specifically for people who are here presently. Because the examples that I'm giving, the audio can't express. That's why I told you it's for you. Okay? Yes. Now, are you with me so far?
Yes.
Now, I need two more people, because this is how life is. People are called according to different patterns in life. Amen. You must learn the house of the Spirit, and that's why knowing your calling is extremely important. Because you can sit in a spiritual ministry, and please understand that both are spiritual. Spirituality is not just seeing visions. It's not just dreaming. Yeah. It's not just prophesying. Amen. They're different dimensions, but they're all of the same Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You're with me?
Yes.
Now, here's what's going to happen. And this is where you need to understand. That's why many people are fighting each other. That's why church is not unified. Because they fail to understand that the dimensions by which God deals with men, He deals with them differently based on their calling. And so even when I have a ministry like this, and this is why I tell you the office of the teacher stands in the middle here. The extreme purpose, the purpose of it, is number one, to preserve truth and to create balance. Not because, now please understand, my father is a prophet. Yeah? My father is a prophet. But please understand that as I tell you this, I'm telling you this so that you can learn how to align your call. That there are things that as we teach, it's never about generality. If I preach something here and it's deep to you, it's not enough for you to go back and say, nah, that was deep, and move on. You align it to your call. How you must train yourself how you hear. Extremely, extremely important. And these are the limitations as to why men are not succeeding in church. That's why the people outside, a person, for example, can tap into principles, get results outside of intimacy. There's a certain power, there are certain results that he kept in intimacy that no man outside can get. Now, this is where I need to get to. That when a man has a relationship with God, he taps into what we call favor. Now, in the church, there's a mindset that, favor is unmerited. As much as that sounds right, there's a dimension where that's true, because in relation to Jesus Christ coming to die on the cross, favor is unmerited. There's a grace that was given to us beyond what we could do. But there is a portion of favor that is merited.
Amen.
You must do something about it to receive it.
Amen.
Proverbs 13:15. Take me there. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding giveth favor. Does it look like it's unmerited there?
No.
Scripture says there's an understanding that brings favor. Then it says, but the way of transgressors is hard. Now, transgression is not sin. Transgression is going against the systems or the laws that God put in place. Then life becomes hard. So in other words, somewhere out there is a Bill Gates sowing and reaping. Gravity, for example, is a law that God put in place. It's a law that exists irrespective of whether you're Christian or not. The sun shines, it sets, you know. Those are laws that are put in place. But there are laws that men outside, Jesus said, the people of the world are shrewd. More shrewd than the people of the church, actually. You find that a person transgresses against the laws. Christians are always believing on magic. Now, let me explain to you what I'm telling you, that the Spirit of God does not work by magic.
Amen.
You know what magic is? That's witchcraft. It doesn't work by magic. There's no, the magic mentioned in the Bible is the demons and spirits and all those things. Huh? Now, please understand that for someone who has mastered the art, someone who you see healing people and they get instant healing, there's a how.
Amen.
There's something he tapped into. Someone who you see moving from a place where they started a business and in a few years they're succeeding, and you're watching, you're wondering, how on earth did they do this? There's a how. Now, this is where the scripture says that good understanding giveth favor. That means there's a certain understanding that a man receives and favor just falls on his spirit. Pop! Now, someone would ask, how do I know when I'm favored? You see, scripture says favor is a voice. It speaks. Not only that, it can be seen. Favor is not progress. Because even in hard labor, there's progress. Man. You can toil, and be progressing. That's not favor. Favor is when you leap, you jump steps.
Amen.
And end up somewhere.
Amen.
People look at you, they even come and they say, but is this witchcraft? What did you do that? Because people believe that no one just gets anywhere just like that.
Amen.
That's what favor does. When you see a person mysteriously rise and get to a place faster than anyone else, favor lifted them. They did it. It's not it's not just magic. Let me tell you. Favor, you go and ask Esther in scripture. Go and ask. There's a thing that lands upon a person when a person has understood. There's an importance of understanding a man of God in your life. There's the importance of understanding your call and your alignment to it. Now, it's extremely important because I have people who come to me. I know there are many people here who pray and have no results. I know there are people here who don't pray and also have also have no results. Okay. So we have those two kinds of people here. People who are doing things. It's a zeal but absent of knowledge. Now, this is how God has rigged the system. Listen carefully. You go back, re-listen to this. It will make sense to you. This is how God rigs the system. When you came here on earth, God knew that no man has the capacity to learn everything. And because you live in time, he put what I call systems of advantage around you. So let's say a man was called to be a prophet. And he was called to be a prophet. If he had got born again at 10 years, it would be different from if he got born again at 40. You agree? So let's say he gets born again at 40 years. Something happens and delays everything. He gets born again at 40. But the call is still upon his life.
Amen.
Prophet,
Amen.
What do we do? There is a system of advantage that God has set in to account for the limitations of men. In scripture, it is referred to as redeeming time.
Amen.
Amen. It is referred to as redeeming time. Whether you got born again at 40 or at 10 years old, time can be redeemed.
Amen.
Whether people seem to be going ahead of you and you have no results, time can be redeemed. But the question now is this: how does time get redeemed? How does God redeem time? Because they say, yeah, my family, they're squeezing after me, they're telling me I'm not getting married. My cousin got married. Our gatekeeper got married. Man of God, how do I redeem time? And you know, we quote the scripture, redeem time for the days are evil. He restore the years that the locust has. And so, it's scripture, so it should be true. But when we look at your life, time doesn't seem to be redeeming itself. You start a ministry, you know there's a call upon your life, but nothing is shifting. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, some other chap just starts and boom. Similarly, you go to a man of God, Chichichokola, what do you do? I've tried. I was telling two people yesterday that when we were back in school, we had a class of only beautiful girls. I'll never forget that class. Pretty girls were in that class. God bless 4A. You guys, 4A. They were called the 10 beauties. Anyway, back to the point. So, this class had these beautiful girls. Now, I remember, you know how school things are, man. Ladies don't date guys of the same class. You guys are young. You know how it is. Eh? So, of course, those guys who are older, they took advantage. Eh? For us, we just sat with the beauties in the class. Eh? Anyway, so here's what happens. Eh? Here's what happens. As time we leave school, finish campus, and I remember one time, a couple of years back, unfortunately, one by one, each of them started sending me messages and telling me, you know, pray for me. I want to get married. Then you go to your friends, you guys, Beauty 2 sent me a message. Or another one would send a message and say, what, I'm married to this guy, but he's fake, he's beating me, he's what? And so I started to look at this life, and all of them actually, unfortunately, all the 10 beauties, all of them, actually with the exception of one. Yeah, I've remembered, Charlotte. Now you guys, are you going to forget the message? Yes, I remember my school days. Now, apart from Charlotte, all these other girls found themselves in a situation where currently they're not married or they're in relationships they don't want to be in. Now, the girls in school who no one recognized as beauties, most of them are well married. They have families, they have children, they're traveling the world, they're enjoying life. said, what is the mystery then? Because the Lord then told me, now men can learn that marriage is not a function of beauty. It exists in a realm called favor. You guys, I'm telling you that when a person gets a ring on their finger, they've been favored.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Eh? So there are systems of advantage that God sets in place, limitations, so that if you're set behind based on your call, things can redeem time. Now, time is not redeemed by you praying and saying, now, job, come. That's not how time redeemed. It's redeemed in a number of ways. I'm touching a few. We'll teach it extensively some other time. But one way in which time is redeemed is through favor.
Amen.
Favor jumps steps.
Amen.
Another way time is redeemed is mercy. Mercy means when you've done something wrong, God overlooks it.
Amen. Amen.
Another way in which time is redeemed is prophecy.
Amen.
Prophecy and the prophetic. Listen, when the Lord, in the spirit world, there's a script for your life. There's a script in the spirit for your life. There are possibilities in the spirit realm. Those possibilities, believe it or not, do not have appointed times. What appoints their times is the prophetic.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, mercy. The Bible says, Father, remind me, Isaiah 61 and verse 3, it says, He appointed... To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. He appoints unto them that mourn in Zion.
Yeah.
To give them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The prophetic, especially even in the Bible. The Bible says Jesus died. He came at the appointed time. When was it appointed? Men spoke. Now, here's the mystery in the spirit. That say, you were supposed to have started a business 10 years ago. And it's you're late. The prophetic can come and bring what was 10 years ago and bring it here.
Woo!
Now, I'm not just saying this just for the sake. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's not only the prophetic, it's the prophets. Prophets, the prophetic.
Amen.
It's how God redeems time.
Amen.
Inaelewa?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay? There are many ways, these relationships. Sometimes you just have to be connected to the right person. You don't even need many people. I'll give you an example in scripture. The Bible says, by a prophet. It doesn't say prophets, plural. Sometimes all you need is one person. That person can open 1,000 doors. You just need to discern them. And I know what I'm talking about. Now, sometimes you look at people. That's why some people stay there where they are, because they are proud. They dishonor others. And when you dishonor, you close the gates, channels through which God blesses you. Because when He brings favor, it's not... Amorphous, it's not some invisible thing. It comes through a man.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So God puts systems of advantage. I call them. I need two more people. All right. Stand right in front of her. Now, I want you to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying here. Success, biblically, success is defined on 5 platforms. I'll mention just 2 for today. When God sees success, He defines it primarily, and this is the order. There must be success in your spirit first.
Amen.
That is the order. Your spirit must first succeed. How does it succeed? First, you fill it with word. Second, you develop a prayer life. You don't have to pray like Mr. Prophet, but you need to develop some sort of a prayer life. So you develop some form. Now, the spirit man grows. When he grows, please understand that the aim of the spirit is to get your spirit man to succeed, to grow, to prosper.
Amen.
When he prospers, the second focus of the spirit now is your mind, mental success.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
Mental success has to do, number one, with your understanding of spiritual things. Secondly, with the understanding of your call. That means there are things you can feel in your mind that are not necessarily spiritual, but the Spirit says, go ahead. If someone is called to be a leader and he goes to a leadership class, he has the right to. In fact, he's doing the right thing. Whether you think it's not spiritual or not. There are things that are being attached to the spirit of that man because he's in the right place. That's what you call the growth of the mind. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. That means your mind must prosper in order to be able to discern the will of God. Let me tell you something, and this is what I always tell people. That you see, if you are called to be an accountant and to be a Christian in the area of accountancy, and you spend your entire time learning how to prophesy, you've wasted time.
Amen.
I will not apologize.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't mean you can't learn to prophesy. It's actually a bonus. It's good to have an accountant who can prophesy. But you must learn to apportion your time in line with your calling. Because that's what you're going to be judged for. And that's why, I believe, that's why in the church we don't see a lot of success. Because we have too many people busy thinking because they don't see visions, they're irrelevant, they're backsliding. Then there are those, because they see visions, they think they've arrived. Eh, man, will I ever teach like this again? Eh? Now, here's what happens. So God apportions, I told you I'll mention just two. The success of your spirit man. Then secondly, he focuses on your mind. Your mind might grow. Now, the end of your mind is this. This is how most of us look at it. You think once you've grown spiritually, now what I need, Lord, I need a house. Lord, I need a husband. Lord, I need a car. Lord, I need school fees. You start to try to chase the things individually. God never set the system like that. I'm going to explain it. You don't pray money. You don't pray, give me a house. You don't pray husband. That's not necessarily how it's supposed to work. So remember, your spirit man has grown. You say, but now, Lord, surely I've been in church long enough. Now I need a house. So you focus, you pray, you go, man of God, I need a house. Man of God, they impart. Man of God, I need this. Man of God. Now you're trying to chase the things individually, but the Lord never set the system like that. I'm going to tell you how he set it. The way he set it is this, that after your spirit man has grown, you focus now as well on your mental health in terms of understanding how God works, but understanding how he works with you. Now, when you do that, the aim of God, the Bible says, as we behold him, we are changed as we behold him with open face, we are changed from glory to glory. Now, here's what happens. The end of it is so that he can mold a Christ in character, appearance, and in power.
Amen.
Now, that means, remember when I taught some time back, I said there are different versions of you. Let me take it deeper. Baby Jesus,
yeah.
There's a name that Jesus has now that baby Jesus could not have because he's not resurrected. Okay.
Amen.
Baby Jesus is a lower version. Resurrected Jesus is another version. There is, okay, David. There was a version of David that could not kill giants. It had to kill bears and lions. Then there was a version that could kill giants but couldn't sit on a throne. There are different versions of you. Hear me as I say this. Now, as you grow in the spirit, as you grow mentally, as you understand the things of God, different versions of you come. Now, the way God has rigged the world, the system, is that certain things come to different versions.
Amen.
There is a version of a person to which a husband comes. I know what I'm talking about. And you see, that's why certain men in the spirit, listen, who have learned to grow themselves, there will, certain things will come, and you'll come and ask them, how is this happening? They can't explain. Because I call it the path of life, Proverbs 16, verse 11. Along that path, there are certain things that are supposed to come to you.
Amen.
You're never supposed to pray for school fees, pray for marriage, pray. No, they come. They come to versions of you. It's called in scripture, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. And all these things are added. It's an addition. What I'm saying is true. I found it to be true. And here's what happens. So, let's say this is a ladder of success. Let's say this is a man of God. When I look at him, he has so many things around him. He has results. But what I can't see is that he's at a certain version of himself. All I see are the results. I am over here looking at him, saying, Banang, what is it about me? I'm fasting, I'm what? Nothing. Now, here's what happens. Here's life. When I say grow, someone sent me a message, asked, what do you mean by grow? Growing is exactly what I've said here, especially when you hear what I'm saying in line with your calling. Amen. If you don't know it, may the Lord reveal it to you. Because when you grow, when you say you're called to be in business, you go back, you spend a lot of time studying the areas in which you're what? You want to put business. You draw your business plan. It looks like nothing is happening. But your vision is growing.
Amen.
And this is a ladder of success. You're moving. You don't see it. You don't even know it. It looks like the circumstances are the same.
Yes.
But as you do that, as I move in front, I want you to turn, face me, both of you. Okay? As I move in front, I want you to take a step inside, a small one.
Yes.
So I move. These are the things I've been praying for. I move. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, and you see, you will, and that's why some people, you see, I look at some people, they come and they say, I don't know nowadays, I don't know, the other day something just happened, someone just brought me this, someone just, and we think it's magic. Now, the same way in which when you're growing, you're moving forward, things are moving closer. When you start to think differently, they move, you move backwards. I know what I'm talking about. And this is the only day I think I could have taught this and left it here. Because someone in an audio can't get this. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you're sitting here, there's a prophecy upon your life. They've told you, you're called to be to start a business and go to Canada. Then you sit and start looking around for how Canada is going to come. And yet a person, what they should do, prepare, get your business plan. When I'm in Canada, do this. Dream Canada. Actually, align yourself to your call. That's what you call, that's when growing versions of you.
Amen.
Then certain things begin to come.
Amen.
That is how life was supposed to be. That's how God rigged it. What I'm telling you here is a very important spiritual secret. Because what you're, I know that there are people here. I know that there are people in here. Who have come to me, you've received enough prophecies. They put prophecies on your head. They're hanging over you. You're the storehouse. You're the storehouse. Now, you see, here's the principle. Here's the reason why your mind is extremely important. If anyone tries to shortcut the process and tries to get a result absent of a certain version of themselves, this is how God has set it. That if you get that house and it's not yet you, you can't keep it.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
That is the mystery behind where this, what I'm explaining here, is the mystery behind Paul saying all things work together. He's not just speaking randomly. He's talking about the things that God has put in place that come. And listen, once they come to a version of you, even if someone steals something, it has to come back.
Yeah.
That's the truth behind. You can't be robbed. You can't be. But yet every day people are robbed here. Let me give you an example. I was telling some guys yesterday. On Tuesday, I was parked at Lugogo. And I got a call from someone. And because there was jam, I never liked to jump on a border. But I jumped on a border. So I jump on a border, go to Chitintale. And come back. Now, as the guy reaches Lugogo, it's getting dark. It's like 7 p.m. It's actually getting dark. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't pay very close attention to details. So I didn't pay close attention to the border guy. what he looked like, what I just jumped on, got what I wanted, came back and paid him and moved on. Never looked at his face, what he was wearing and so on. Now, when we reach Logogo, I take out my phone and put it on the seat so that I could get out some money from my wallet. I pay him and I forget the phone. Now, I hadn't yet noticed, so I reach my car and I'm about to open the door, then I realize, oh my God, I've lost my phone. Now, I had to walk a distance, so it was about 2 minutes. By this time, he has gone. I reach my car, realize, man, I've forgotten my phone. So I stand there for some time. Then the Spirit of the Lord whispers to me, you don't lose things. Now, I kid you not, God is my witness. I walk to the road where the guy stopped me and stand there. It's dark. Borders are just passing. I stand there, then shout, hey! And a border stops. And it's the guy. God is my witness. Now, not only that, what messed him up was the phone. He had been riding around. The phone was still at the back. I got my phone and I said, yeah, this is the remnant life. God is my witness. Start a fire. This is going to be a... But praise the Lord. Eh? That's the secret behind when something has come to... And what's that? You see, God has... The way God shaped things is that a transformation of you, a transformed you, takes you to another version. The way you think takes you to another version, whether you know it or not, and certain things just begin to come. Now, if your mind has not conformed, has not been renewed to a certain version, things will come, but they will be temporary. That's why I say, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I went up by revelation. I believe in the Spirit. I believe in the lifting of men. It's one thing to rise. It's another thing to rise intentionally. See, many people here, you're praying to be, Lord, lift me up, lift me up. But it's one thing to rise. It's another thing to rise intentionally. Now, you know exactly what to do and how to get there. Amen. It's a very different thing. Amen. That's why I said, Paul said, I went up by revelation. That's a spiritual truth. Now, when a person goes to a place, succeeds absent of understanding, he will fear success. Because when he reaches there, he'll keep thinking he's going to fall back. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And so this is why I'm telling you that it's not enough for you. Really, what you have here is extremely unique. Because... Maybe actually, a person becomes a mystery to me. You come, you sit, and you wait. When is he finishing and he prophesies? Can you imagine? I'm giving you something that you can learn how to fish. Now, what if I don't like America. Give me a country. What if I go to France? Eh? Yeah. Je parle un peu de français. Now, if I go to France, if you built your camp around me prophesying to you, your life is going to be on hold until I come back. The last prophecy I ever actively received, a prophecy, was in 2017, November. And yet my life has been on a progression. Praise the Lord. So, stop for a minute, because you see, take for example, I pick you out randomly. I tell you what's in your life. I say, I see America. I see whatever. I see. Then things start taking shape. They don't randomly take shape just because I've prophesied. Because there was someone else I prophesied to as well, whose situation is just the same. And it's not because the man of God is false. Praise the Lord. Amen. Must learn to change your mindset. Change your mindset. You're here. I can teach deep things off the bat. Just like that. There was a time, there was a version of me, and let me tell ministers here, there was a version of me years ago that would teach mysteries, people would roll on their chairs. But I'll teach mysteries for an hour and teach and teach and teach. Never did I realize until I reached a certain point and the Lord told me, I realized that people's lives were the same. Then the Lord told me, now that you've got over yourself, it's time to build men. And so my life now transitioned. It wasn't just about teaching mysteries. My life now transitioned to a place where, while before I was focused on my results, I'm now focused on yours. And that's why many young ministers get caught in it, because they try to build names for themselves. And to build names for themselves, they try to wow. And I understand, because I was once that mix. You want to wow people, but there's a place where you reach and the Lord says, now it's time to build men. Amen. So now it's not about getting you to know something, it's getting you to understand. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? I learned long ago that it's one thing to be anointed. Authority is a different thing. It's actually a higher realm than anointing. You see, Lucifer was anointed. He's the only one in scripture referred to as the anointed cherub, and we'll touch on that someday. Anointed means to be smeared with oil, which literally means to have the Holy Spirit upon you. Lucifer had the Holy Spirit upon him. Now, Lucifer is anointed. I want you to think for a moment. He must have thought he was the most, because the Bible talks about his beauty, talks about who he is. He had stones all around him. He was beautiful in every sense. He had an anointing upon him. In heaven, he was the guy, right after God. To the extent that he realizes that the only way up is God. After God, there is none. Then he says, I want to be like God. So at the back of his mind, like many ministers who are anointed, it would be easy to think, surely this sheer. No one is as anointed as me. Now, we know he was anointed in scripture, but in there, there was angel Gabriel, there was Michael and other angels we do not know. The 24 elders who sit on the throne. Now, here's my point. Lucifer, who's the anointed cherub, possibly thought to himself, after God, I'm the one. But because there was no war in heaven, Michael looks powerless. Now, you guys. Until that day, you transgress. Then you say, hey, all this time this guy was here. And the Bible says, and the serpent fought with Michael and his angels, and they cast him down. Then you realize that there was someone in his element all the time, quiet. It was just not his time. Now that's the truth, not just about men of God, it's the truth about you. You see someone anointed sitting there, you say, Wananga, this guy sings, when they sing, things change, and for you look like you're nothing. Just your time. And it's for a reason like that. That's why, for me, I made a promise with myself that when it comes with dealing with people, I'll never be proud. Never. I might have my shortcomings, but pride will never be one of those things, because it was the actual fall of the enemy. When you think you're the only one, let me tell you a secret that is extremely important that I've taught men, that day and night people pray for answers. You pray for answers. And what affects most people is actually what frustrates Christians today is unanswered prayer. But I want you to understand that there's a realm in the spirit and in life beyond answers. It's called the realm of rewards. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus, even in prayer, there's a realm of answers. But higher than that is a realm of rewards. The Bible says, if you lock yourself in a room, the Father who sees in secret will reward you, not answer you. And you guys. This is why I tell you, there are people in the spirit, there are people, men of God, who have matured in the things of the spirit. When they enter prayer, they aren't looking for answers. They're looking for rewards. Now, what are rewards? Because you see, they come in a very funny way. You sit there day and night, you're saying, Lord, 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 when is my calling coming? When is my calling? I'm sweeping church every day. Lord, Lord, they told me, they prophesied to me that I would be a businessman. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Now, all that time, something, for example, I'm giving an example, is being formed in you called long-suffering. And by the time you reach your thing, your America comes, you're tired, you're frustrated, you thought to yourself, but then from then on, you're no longer impatient. And people ask, but you're such so patient. You even tell, I used to be patient. You don't know. That there are things that come. I'm telling you guys, there are things that are deeper in your life than answers. Because when you pray, you don't know what to pray for. This is how God shortcuts limitations, things that look like disadvantages to you. When a woman who has been barren for years finally receives her answer, I give you an example, finally receives her answer, God opens up her womb. When he opens up the womb, please understand that when a woman gets pregnant, 9 months, gives birth, needs like 1 or 2 years to recover. Some people don't even wait. But I want you to imagine, let's say 1 year to recover for a child. All right? You give birth, that's almost 1 year. 1 year to recover, those are 2 years. Your friends give birth to 3 children, they're grown up. For you, you're just beginning your first one. By the time you get the 3 children, 6 years would have. So what does God do? To redeem time, he gives triplets. Now, are you getting... Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you the system of the Lord. These are ways that God redeems and shortcuts and ensures that. So where you are now, time hasn't left you. Because I know how the Lord works. In one day, imagine for a moment, if Joseph, who was in prison, imagine for a moment, if he had known that 12 hours to his last night, he would have been a prince the next day. Imagine how he would have slept. Imagine how he would have slept. That shortcut there, from prisoner to prince, is favor. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And so here's, I've really touched a lot of things, but here's what the Lord is saying. Because I've tried to create an understanding that the circumstance that you're in right now, that seems to be a delay, in a moment you can catch up. It's how God has set the system. And that's why I say, don't allow lack of money. I was telling someone yesterday, they wanted to eat me up. I told them that there are 7 currencies in the spirit. 7 ways in which a man can buy something without money. Actually, 6. The 7th is finances. Finances. When scripture says, come and buy without money, is it just talking magically? No. There are 7 currencies. Ways in which a man can buy a thing absent of money. And I've touched on some of them. I've touched on some of them. My dad told me a story a couple of years back. He was on a plane, and just like they give plane tickets, and there was a minister seated in his chair. Not a minister, a preacher, a minister, government minister. So he comes, and the stewardess tries to tell the minister to stand up. He said, you leave the man? Let him sit. He says, sorry, sir. He sits in his seat. Now, that is wisdom, especially when you understand what's upon a man, whether he's born again or not. Because favor one day will put both of you together. Now, years later, they meet. He's applying for a job, and the minister says, I've seen you somewhere. He says, I was on that plane, and you're the one who gave me a seat. Come, we're giving you a job. Now, when he told me that story, then I did not understand. Now I understand that often the Lord will orchestrate feet seeing ahead of time, and how you treat people now. What I'm telling you is true. Transformation is a magnet. Once you change, things are drawn to you. There are things that come. They come to a version of you. People almost can't realize you. What happened? How? Praise the Lord. Since the year began, I don't remember when I prayed for a need. I don't remember. I stopped it long ago. Now we enter. We're fighting for rewards. The rewards are mentioned many in Scripture. There are many. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. He who seeks Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There are men just by nature seek. What are they looking for? Do they want to be deep? No. They know there's a reward system for simply seeking. Lord, have mercy. And so a person who sits there, they sit there and they say, me prayer is not my thing. They sit there. And you know, the seeking is not just in the essence of praying. I was telling someone yesterday that if you have a calling upon yourself for fashion, every day you sit, go to Google, try to look at passions, try to get dreams and so on and so forth, you're actually inadvertently seeking God. I know what I'm talking about. Either you sit down, and because you're in line with your call, you're not on poteya. Are you with me? And so you sit, you're shown God that you're serious, and He sits, my child. And you see, as you're in there, all of a sudden, you don't seek prophets, they come. Huh? Because the way the prophetic is meant to, the way it's supposed to work, is that as a man ships levels, they come to announce the next season. But if you haven't shifted, you're the one who's going to spend time. Prophet! The prophet! Prophet, you saw, you what? I'm telling you, and as you're busy searching on your thing, you're growing your mind, you're transforming yourself, you get dreams, you get visions, because your dreams come in line with seasons. They come in line with versions of you. Most, let me tell you, ladies, some of the people that I know, it's actually quite interesting that a number of people in this time that I know who are getting married, most of them who got married early weren't thinking of marriage. Something else was occupying their mind. And they don't know that as they were doing so, He was coming. When you stopped to think about marriage, you can't see it. I'm telling you a truth. Can I share something? Let me share something here. I'll use an example of Cynthia. I'll just use this example. One time I sat with Cynthia. I said, I see Barry. She said to me, that's the last thing on my mind. Now she's there putting pictures, yo. There's a secret behind seeking the kingdom first and things are added. There's just a real, it's a principle. It's an actual principle. That you are never meant to chase things individually. Let me first get married. They come, they draw. It's a magnet. Now, as I'm saying this, you need to remember, please understand, that you go back, you find your place. The Bible says, let every man remain in the place in which they were called. You find your place, and you allow the Lord, you take it as seriously as if He's coming tomorrow. Because in therein, versions of you grow. Your problem is not lack of finances to go abroad. Your issue is that there is someone passing you every day, but he's looking for a certain version of you. And when you, finally, when something about you grows, he says, you see, Rabbi, I've learned this, I put this together. Yesterday, some person just came and said, I'll pay for your ticket. And you think it's magic. Oh, Rabbi, he sent a message. Oh, my God, if it wasn't for you, no. Actually, let me tell you, often it's not because of me or any man of God. It's a certain dimension of God that you've seen, you've received, and it's not because you are trying to be deep. You see, let me tell you, as a teacher, it is my prerogative to spend time in the Word, to spend time seeking God. As a minister, fivefold, that's important. All right? Looking for deep things. But if you're called to be an architect, and you spend hours on mysteries of God. Let me tell you, it's not a bad thing. Please, I pray you understand the spirit in which I'm saying this. You will be deep but broke. And this is the secret why men of God often, and it's a secret why some men of God, you will see them, they seem to progress quickly. And the world has a problem with them. Because the mindset is, no one just gets wealthy like this. You need to labor and work hard. Let me tell you the truth. There are two dimensions of labor. There's a labor that comes as a result of favor. Then there's a labor that comes by hard work. The second one, it is impossible to get a result and give glory to God. You went to school, you did this, you did this, you literally track your life. If everything about your life can be explained, you haven't been walking with God. If everything about your life can be explained, you are not walking with God. But I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. It's spiritual truth. That you can wake up and tomorrow you're a millionaire. What's limiting you is not the devil. Not the devil. I don't believe that. I believe it's a certain dimension. I sat down trying to learn in the spirit how to bring money. And I only called specific amounts until a certain dimension of me began to grow. There's an understanding and light I got in the spirit. Now, understanding, let me, as I end, understanding is not necessarily knowing methods, it's knowing ways. So take, for example, I can come into a room. I've been given a prophetic word that I'm going to get married. Understanding is not. Now, this man, when he comes, he shall come from the east. When he comes from the east, he must be able to talk English properly. Those could be desires, eh? Fine. Now, you've mapped up in your mind the method, but it's not the way of God. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your... There is your understanding, but then there's an understanding of the Lord. The Bible refers to it as the spirit of understanding. That's a different thing altogether. That means a man can stand in a place. They've told him, a woman, they've told you, you're going to receive, your husband is coming. Rest is a form of understanding. My job is to make myself pretty, look good. God has spoken, his words cannot fall to the ground. And you see... Someone came to me the other I'm sorry. Someone came to me the other day. My biggest fear is that God will give me an ugly woman. Now I said, Lord. I see marriage, but I don't you. Every time it starts, stop. Why? Man, I fear ugly women. Now. Anyway, let me just leave that. Eh? Understanding is extremely crucial. And it's what I labor to do here day and night. That's why you must learn what excellency is. Excellency means to pursue your call with all your heart. Whether error prone, the Lord can say, well done. You see, the thing is this, that time is running out. We don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time. I say again, dominion is not imparted. No one imparts dominion. No one. You can be anointed all you want. No one imparts dominion. We were never meant to pursue things. We were meant to pursue only God. Only. And you don't pursue him randomly. You pursue him in line with your call. Every time you stay focused to what you're doing. Listen, money is not coming. I don't have money for this. Draw the thing. Because you're focusing yourself on an entity that is meant to come to you. Not meant for you to chase it. You're hearing me? We were never meant to pursue, even by the way. Ah, mama, let me leave it. The Lord has warned me. But I was going to say, in the very sense of it, you are never meant to pursue women. In the very sense of labor, laboring, hard work. Box, this one has failed. Box, this has failed. Box, this has failed. And you say, man of God, how do you do it? For you just go once things happen. the principle is this: you are supposed to pursue God, and as you pursue, things are added. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it. And we don't pursue God generally. The way a prophet pursues is different from the way a teacher pursues, different from the way a businessman is meant to pursue. All these patterns are found in Scripture. The moment you find a pattern that is adorned to you, you will find things in life opening up. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you. Otherwise, you'll be building castles in the air. They've told me I'm going to be Governor Bank of Uganda. 1 year, Governor Bank of Uganda. 2 years, Governor Bank of Uganda. 3 years, Governor Bank of Uganda. We have too many people in the church building castles in the air. In the air. I believe with all my heart that prophecies don't just not come to pass, especially if they are given by a prophetic person, a genuine person. They don't. They don't. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that the moment you get frustrated because a prophecy hasn't come to pass, you've taken your eyes off the real ball. I believe it. Praise the Lord. Eh? If you knew the angels that surround you when you focus in your place. I was telling someone yesterday that your calling, when you came on earth here, you're not the first one in line with it. There are lineages. There are people who came before you in the same lineage. Fashion, prophet, what? Same lineage. And the angel that whispered to them is whispering to you. But you're focusing on, I want a husband. And so you keep killing the promptings of God because you've taken your eyes off the ball. Always remember that in our kingdom, things don't just get delayed by accident.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.